Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around, stay with me. It'll be about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, and a whole lot of education with no manipulation. If this is the first time for you to listen to The Flatline, stick around because you'll find we don't solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We just offering you the Word of God, some insight into the Word of God. Hopefully, I can help you to see what God's plan for your life is, and you can orient and adjust to the plan. But The Flatline is 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, as you heard, without any manipulation. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. All across the United States this morning, over 100 cities are listening to The Flatline. And I'm so grateful to have the privilege and the opportunity to give this information. Today, we want to talk about a clear and present danger that focuses in across our land, this great United States of America, and I'd like to bring that to your attention. A couple of verses I'd like to give you, and then we'll jump right in and talk about what we want to cover today. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of knowledge." It didn't say because they're a bunch of drunkards or a bunch of one thing or the other. It says lack of knowledge. "Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you, that you shall be no priest for me. Seeing you've forgotten the laws of your God, I will also forget your children." Now, this was a warning by Hosea to Israel, but this can be applied to our nation as well. We are a client nation for God today. We represent our Father across the entire world. We pray for His blessing. We pray for His leadership. We ask for His anointing on our nation. And this is telling you right now how you can lose it. Lack of knowledge. I want to get into that and help you understand what that means. In Hosea 14:9, at the end of the book, it says this: "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein." What are the ways of the Lord, and who is wise to figure this out, and what is this knowledge thing God's talking about in the Bible? There are two institutions that Satan would need to infiltrate if he hopes to destroy a client nation such as the United States of America. You can see them as well as I can: schools and churches. Schools and churches. So if Satan would like to shut this country down, he has to start by getting into the schools and into the churches. And it appears that he has already infiltrated our schools and successfully affecting the thinking of students in regards to gender rights, even managing to get God kicked off the campus. Student grades in math and science are well behind many other countries across this world. And in regards to churches, it appears to me that he's also succeeded in dumbing down Christians. The emphasis on Christian entertainment under the guise of worship is just disgusting. Nobody ever grew to spiritual maturity singing Christian hymns. Unless you learn some basic Bible doctrine, you will never reach spiritual maturity in your life. You have to understand that. You'll never get past the stage of infantism. You must learn some Bible doctrine. No insight, no discernment, no growth. So this brief study that I'm going to give you in the next few minutes is designed to alert you in regards to false teachers in the pulpit or elsewhere, maybe in a home. There's a reason why I request for you to get under a well-qualified pastor. It's the reason why I always bring that up to you. And I have people write to me all the time and say, "Where can I find a well-qualified pastor in my area?" And unfortunately, that's not always the case. May not be one close by. So, but there is information available from fantastic pastors if you're interested in seeking it. And we can tell you how to link up with them and how to get it free of charge. But your spiritual life is very critical. And many churches get the gospel message every Sunday morning. You get it correct. And folks do, in fact, get saved. But after that, it seems they go off the rails on spirituality. And many ministers teach salvation by grace, but turn around and teach spirituality by works. This flaw shows up in the next generation, not the one that hears it, but the next one coming down the pipeline, where spirituality by works winds up being salvation by works. You have to understand that Satan is very patient, very deliberate, and to do these things, he must use human communicators. This is what the book of Jude recorded for us. Certain men have crept in unnoticed who were long ago marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. Lewdness. Aselgeia. A-S-E-L-G-E-I-A. Aselgeia. Broadly speaking, the word comes from a Greek word, astrotes, and it signifies that which is disgraceful and lewd and rude and sexually disgraceful. It's characterized by moral impurity. When this verse says they've turned the grace of our God into moral impurity, into lewdness, there's no doubt that many churches prey on innocent women and children. There's no doubt that this is going on across our country. We read about it every day. God does not authorize this. The Bible says that it would be better for a man to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown in the deepest part of the ocean than to touch the hair of a child's head in any way whatsoever. So this verse that I'm referring to is ministers taking advantage of unsuspecting members of their congregation. Maybe it's happened to you. So I want to alert you to this fact. Jude 8 says, likewise also these dreamers, the ones that defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. Deuteronomy calls them delusional dreamers. If there's among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let's go after other gods, which you have not known, and let's serve them, then you should not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. So make no mistake about it. Let's go on the record and get it clear. Satan has successfully planted his own ministers in churches, just as he has also successfully planted teachers in schools. In Jude 17, verse 9 through 19, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last times, the ones who should walk after their own ungodly lust, and these be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. These ministers I'm talking about, appointed by Satan, will appear to be wonderful, great individuals. Oh, you'll love them. They'll love on you. They'll pay a lot of attention to you. They'll take you to ball games. They'll take you on mission trips to help the other poor nations of the world. They'll bring in Christian entertainment for you and obviously sell you tickets to go hear it and enjoy the event. And they'll write and sell books and hold special conferences for women and men, inviting you to purchase your ticket so they can pay the big fee required by the event leader. I read just today a big event coming up in our nation, something about being men in some church in Florida, and you can go if you buy a ticket for $250. You can be there and eat with them and see them. These delusional dreamers may even teach a Sunday school class once a week, but you will never grow to spiritual maturity on a 30-minute class once a week. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, therefore it is not surprising if his servants, as Satan's servants, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their own deeds. So he has his own ministers, and he has his own doctrine. I'm talking about Satan now. He teaches his own doctrine in these churches. 2 Timothy 4:1, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. We could get into what that exactly is, but part of it is salvation by works and spirituality by works. The Bible says Satan has his own communion table. In 1 Corinthians 10:19-21, they sacrifice to demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And these site pastors promote legalism as a system of pseudo-spirituality. They promote legalism as a system of pseudo-spirituality. In 1 Timothy 1:7, they are teachers of the law, understanding neither what they're saying nor what they are affirming. I assure you, God's justice is coming for these satanic religious deceivers. It's on the way. You must be on the lookout. You must be careful. The Bible makes it clear, woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 23:1-2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You've scattered my flock, and you've driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. In Jeremiah 23:21, a warning from God. I did not send these prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had listened to my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. And then in Jeremiah 23:31-32, I am against these prophets, says the Lord, the ones that use their tongues and say, he said, he said. I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to live error by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I did not send them, nor did I command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. These are the type of ministers I'm talking about, and they are not very hard to find. Obviously, they usually have the biggest churches and all the merchandise to go with it. If you go to one of their churches, worship is like going to Dolly World or the Grand Ole Opry. So what exactly should you look for in a well-qualified pastor? First of all, you should look for a man who has a spiritual gift to pastor teacher. And this is something God gives at the moment of salvation. It's a communication gift. And I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist. I don't pastor a church, I'm an evangelist. It's a different gift. And secondly, you should look for a man who knows the original languages. Remember, the Bible was not written in the King James Version. It was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And if you're going to translate the Bible, you must know something about the original languages. And then you must look for a man who's clear about salvation, faith alone in Christ alone. And not faith plus giving up Coca-Cola or faith plus quit eating peanuts. Not that. Faith alone in Christ alone. He must be clear about salvation. And you must find an individual, a pastor, who understands the issue of spirituality. Spirituality is critical for you to understand. You must understand this if you're ever going to grow. Spirituality is the filling of the Holy Spirit, living under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. Whenever you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're carnal. Carnal means you have unconfessed sin in your life, and spiritual means you're in fellowship with God. Spirituality means that you are becoming a mature believer based on the filling of the Holy Spirit and the components of the Word of God in your soul. So you must find a man who's not looking to move up in the ranks, you know, not looking to get a bigger church, bigger crowd, more people. It's not about that. It's about serving your flock, shepherding your flock. And you must find a man who meets biblical requirements found in 1 Timothy 3:1-7. Don't look at his looks. Don't look at his personality. That's not the issue. Rather, listen to the message. One of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever known or ever heard of in my life was criticized heavily because of his personality. But his pulpit information, the information he gained from the pulpit, was unbelievable, phenomenal. It's the only reason I'm here today, because of what he taught me. But as far as personality goes, from the pulpit, he offended people because he wasn't the sweet, nice, loving preacher that you want. He was tough, like the old football coach I had at Alabama. He was an exegetical communicator, not a topical preacher. There's a difference between an exegetical communicator and a topical preacher, and you need that exegetical communicator. Not somebody that just preaches on the topic of one thing one week and one thing next week. That's what I do. I'm a topical teacher. I teach you different topics each week. The pastor has to get into the Word of God and exegete it. Exegeting it, starting with what we call, I'm going to give you a big word here, ICE teaching, I-C-E. That stands for isagogical, categorical, exegetical teaching. So you break down a scripture verse line by line, word by word, verse by verse. When my pastor taught the book of Ephesians, it took several years. When my pastor taught the book about the life of Christ, it took several years. You don't do it in a week. Having a weak Bible study in a church is weak, W-E-A-K, at best. Having a week-long series on the book of Romans is crazy. I mean, you might be able to figure out how many chapters in Romans, but you're not going to learn very much in a week. So, you know, you may not be able to find a pastor like that where you live. What do you do about it? Well, you may have to have non-face-to-face teaching. That's very possible. That's what I actually do myself. I don't live in the town where my pastor is, but he makes all of his messages available by live streaming. And I'm able to click on the computer and watch his messages every time he teaches, which is several times every week. So what I want to do for you is direct you to that sort of pastor, the man God has for you, so you can get under that man's authority, and his job will be to teach you and make you rich in God's Word. Paul talked about that, the treasure of the Word of God in your soul. And with that spiritual wealth, you will be dangerous to the enemy, and you'll be equipped now with some insight and discernment to see the scams of Satan, see his temptations and the way that he seeks to ruin your life. It's critical. You have to understand that. So many men today are not actually teaching their flock. They're into organized religion, and it's moved them away from teaching. It seems to be more about entertainment and motivational, inspirational type messages. But preaching without solid teaching leads to some sort of emotional response. Many people want that. They don't want to have intellectual response. They want an emotional response. They want to go to church and feel good about going to church. Like, oh, I went to church and I feel good about it. He inspired me. We sang some songs and we got emotional. And he said, God is here. Don't you feel God being here? Unfortunately, God's there when you leave, too, because he's immanent and transcendent. You're not going to put God in one place at one time. And if you think you're going to sing songs till you turn blue and invite God to come join your worship service, you're crazy. God was there before you got there, and he'll be there when you're gone. So you may get an emotional high, but it's not because God all of a sudden showed up. Jesus Christ lives in you. He's in you, the hope of glory, the Bible teaches. So without getting emotional, you can have fellowship with God the Father through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you can allow the Lord Jesus Christ to direct you in your life. But preaching without solid teaching leads to emotional response. So that means this, that a right thing has to be done in a right way. Because a right thing done in a wrong way is still wrong, and a wrong thing done in a right way is wrong also. You're never going to hear a pastor tell you, hardly, unless you're listening to the right kind of pastor, that you might be here for the right reason, but you may be here in the wrong way. When's the last time your pastor said, before we begin our worship service, we're going to have a time of silent prayer, and we're going to ask you to look inside your life, and if there's any unconfessed sin in your life, to go ahead and admit it to God right now, right this minute, before we start? Why would he say that? Because if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you've quenched the Holy Spirit, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved, regardless of what the pastor says, you're not going to be able to comprehend it. You're not going to be able to transfer it into your soul because you've quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. So a right thing has to be done in a right way. Is it right to go to church? Yes. Is there a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church? Yes. If you're in church without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're in the right place in the wrong way. So when do the pastors get this clear? When do they make it clear to you? There's a right way and a wrong way to live the spiritual life. Now, if you get a well-qualified pastor, he can certainly teach you exegetically or topically. But the question is, do you even know the difference? Do you? Exegetically is line upon line upon line and word upon word upon word. I mean, as it goes like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So would you start out with your pastor, start out with Ho Theos, the God, Agapao, so love, Cosmos, the world. Can he break it down into the various languages and show you what's there? Just listen to that. For God so loved the world. If I taught you John 3:16 exegetically, it could take several months. I could teach you the doctrine of God and the essence of God. I could teach you the concept of virtue love as taught in the Bible. I could teach you the cosmos and the angelic conflict that's going on in the cosmos. A good pastor's got to be able to break it down, line upon line, word upon word. So the sermons that help us grow are the ones that are exegetically taught, where we go line upon line and word upon word and verse upon verse. And a well-qualified pastor can do that because he has a working knowledge of the original languages. A well-qualified pastor does not need to know everybody's name in the congregation, but he must feed that congregation and protect each member of the congregation from the other canine clergy wolves the Bible talks about. And he must be motivated by, he must not be motivated by anybody in the congregation. Even though he can have great friends, great rapport, it's his personal love for God that motivates him to teach God's word. Here's another concept. Most male believers with a spiritual gift of pastor teacher are neither brilliant nor even original thinkers. And quite frankly, as a pastor, they're not required to be. They're not required to be geniuses, but they are required to be accurate and to be faithful in the principle of studying and teaching and studying and teaching. A well-qualified pastor will not put anything in front of his studying and teaching. That's priority number one in his life. Study, study, study. So when I bring you a message like what you're hearing on the radio right now, it may take me 3 days to put this together. I'm not there 12 hours a day at my desk, but I may be there 5 hours a day. You don't just sit down and blurt this stuff out. You have to understand it. You have to dig in. You have to the details and the content and the background. There are a lot of gifts that have, a lot of guys that I know particularly who have this gift to pastor teacher, and they never use it. They can't get the difference between their priorities and their passion straightened out. I was given the gift of evangelism when I got saved, and I didn't even know it. It took me over a year to figure that out, what was going on in my life. And you also have a spiritual gift. You and I both have spiritual gifts. And it's a shame if we never use it. Now, here's a principle I want you to remember. Don't want you to ever forget it. Don't ever try to associate the gift of pastor teacher with certain kinds of personalities. Don't say, well, he's a good pastor because he's so sweet. He's a good pastor because he's so friendly. He's a good pastor because he's so kind. Always knows my name. Always comes to see me in the hospital if I'm sick. What makes him a good pastor is not that he's your friend. Not that he likes to hang out with you, but that he can separate from you and study hours every day and get up in that pulpit and teach you the Word of God correctly, line upon line and word upon word and precept upon precept. That's what's important. So the demand for Bible teaching pastors in a country such as ours always diminishes as apostasy comes up, and it's happening today. I know churches that have actually fired great pastors who were great men who studied a lot because they weren't sweet enough. They didn't visit enough people. They didn't call on sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. If that's you, you're making a terrible mistake if you think the pastor has to come over and hold your hand, pray with you every day. He does his counseling from the pulpit. He does his counseling as he studies and teaches you the Word of God. If you can't handle some difficulty in your own life without having a pastor stand there and pray for you, then you're never growing up spiritually. No pastor can lead his congregation to spiritual adulthood unless he provides the basis for learning. Learning. Because he can only take you as far as he himself has been. And that's critical you understand that. It's critical that you sit under a mature believer, one who has a working knowledge of the languages and one who can teach you clearly what the Word says. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want that. They'd rather run the church themselves and run the pastor off. Sometimes we have what's called cosmic pastors. Cosmos Diabolicus is the devil's world. And this is the guy who's distracted by some form of works, trying to get you involved in crusades, get you involved in social actions, get you involved in politics. Stay away. And then there's baby pastors, or what I call the immature pastor, who never really learned much doctrine in their life. And they spend most of their time in the pulpit just giving the same salvation messages over and over and over, trying to evangelize their congregation every Sunday morning. And then there's the adolescent pastor. This pastor can teach some truth, but he's distracted by various forms of celebrityship. High profile. He wants to be the man of the hour. If that's one that you're associated with, you need to be very careful. Therefore, you have to watch out for pastors who have AI. AI. What is AI? Artificial intelligence. Is any system of thought which hinders you from fulfilling the plan of God or advancing in the plan of God in your life? You must find a well-qualified pastor. And you must understand there's a clear and present danger in this world to shut that down. Satan is hard at work putting men in pulpits every day that belong to him. He's hard at work trying to stop you from ever learning and applying the Word of God in your life. Just like he's infiltrated the schools of this country with some sort of human viewpoint thinking, he's infiltrating the churches as well. The biggest and the largest and the most well-attended churches are not the kind I'm talking about. They're the kind where the sensationalism goes on every Sunday. The kind where all the blessings come, supposedly, you're going to get showing up. And God wants to give you this, and God wants to give you that. You know, my friend has a motto, just show up and learn. Show up and learn. That's what you're supposed to do. Teach me, feed me. That's what God's looking for. Men that will teach and feed his flock. I hope you're listening. I hope this has alerted you to the danger of men in the pulpit that are not qualified to be there. Men in the pulpit that God didn't put there. Men in the pulpit that are delusional dreamers, have their dreams. God said, look, if you want to teach something, teach my word. Teach my word. Teach my word. Go ask your pastor to do that. Ask him to teach you the Word of God line upon line and verse upon verse, book upon book. It's amazing what you can learn when you get into the Word of God and study it that way. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I hope this encouraged you. If you have any questions, you can always contact us at rickhughesministries.org. Until next week, this is your host, Rick, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and absolutely no manipulation. No begging for money, not trying to sell you something, not going to ask you to join up. We're just going to ask you to listen up as I seek to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I can do that, you're welcome to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. It's your choice, your privilege. But my job is to get it right. I would like to tell you that we have a lot of material available to you free of charge. If you go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, you'll find many of the books we've written. It's all free. We don't charge for anything. But the one thing I want to alert you to are our transcripts of all past radio shows going back from 2018, 19, 20, 21, and we're working on 22 now. We give 52 shows a year, and these 52 shows are all put into a book for you to read word by word, line by line. It's called a transcript. And so you can use one of those and read one each day and kind of catch up and go back and remember what we taught. And it's a good way to recall some information. If you'd like to get those transcripts, just write to us through the website. There's a place to order it. Or any of our other new books, such as Christian Problem Solving and our book on Practicing Your Christianity, or our latest book on God's Promises and Principles. It's all there. You can see it. It's all free. We also have a lot of CDs and DVDs available where we've spoken in various other venues. Again, free for you if you want it. But let me remind you, I'm not a pastor. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to direct you to a church. I'm trying to direct you to a well-qualified pastor that you can sit under and learn and grow. That's what I'm trying to do for you. And I hope you're understanding that. We call our show The Flatline for one reason. Because my pastor taught me this concept years ago, like I'm teaching it to you now. I'm reteaching what he taught me. FLOT stands for Forward Line of Troops. Forward Line of Troops. And it's dealing with the concept of 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Scripture. If you learn these 10 unique problem-solving devices, you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. So 10 unique problem-solving devices. If you don't know what they are, contact us. We'll send you the book called Christian Problem Solving. It will outline each one of them, and you can read and see what we're talking about. But here they are. Rebound, problem-solving device number 1 that deals with the problem of sin. Filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two that deals with the problem of your old sin nature. Faith rest drill, problem-solving device number three that deals with unexplained difficulties in your life and how you handle it. And then we have grace orientation, biblical orientation. We have personal sense of destiny, understanding God's destiny for you. And then we have the virtue love concepts of personal love for God and personal love for others. And then sharing the happiness of God, as Jesus said, I've taught you these things so that my joy might be in you, John 15:11. And then occupation with Christ, which is the great problem-solving device. And I would like you to learn these things. We even have a bookmark with all 10 of them listed on it. You can stick it in your Bible and refer to it from time to time if you'd like to. So if you'd like to get any of this information, go to the website, rickhughesministries.org. Don't go to Richard Hughes Ministries. That's a different person. It's rickhughesministries.org. And then you'll find us there and you'll see a picture of me talking to a bunch of kids because we've been speaking in schools for 50 years, traveling, going across the country, speaking in schools. And in the month of October, we'll be in two schools for a week at a time. And these obviously are not public schools. You don't get in public schools and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't let you. But private schools, private academies are not necessarily Christian schools. They're private schools. And these type folks will still welcome you to come in and teach the principles of God's Word. So we got that coming up in October, and we'll need your prayers for those as we travel. But let's get into the topic that we want to study today. And when I said learn the 10 problem-solving devices, I don't know if you heard last week's show, but Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That meant they did not learn something. And you must understand that as a believer, you are expected to learn something. And it's not easy. So we want to talk today about those lazy believers that are not interested in learning anything. We call them the nod to God crowd, the casual Christian. Hello, God. See you next week, God. Good to be here this Sunday morning, God. Bye-bye. And then off they go into the devil's world. What is a lazy believer? He or she is the Christian who's not willing to put forth the effort required to reach spiritual maturity. Effort. You don't grow to spiritual maturity without putting out some effort in your life. This sort of person, he or she, is basically indolent in regards to the effort required to meet God's expectations. Does God have expectations on your life? Well, certainly he does. What exactly does God expect out of you? That's what we'll talk a little bit about today. God's expectations for you. I can tell you this. He doesn't want you to be a baby Christian all your life. If you have a young child, you want that child to grow up and be a strong, healthy young child. Same thing with you. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you're a baby Christian. God wants you to grow up and be a strong, healthy, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of our listeners that are listening to the radio right now are up in years, just like me. That didn't make any difference. How old you are is not the issue. You say, well, I'm 60 or I'm 70 and I'm too old to learn. Birdseed. Birdseed. You're not too old to learn. You are expected to learn. The expectations are still in the same way for you when you were 25 and 65. Doesn't make any difference. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, your journey is just beginning. And no one explained that to me after I got saved. No one told me what was expected out of me. Everybody wanted to just tell me, go do this, brother, go do that, brother, and I didn't know what in the world they were talking about. No one told me that I was going to have to grow up. I was going to have to learn to be a spiritually mature individual. No one told me I had the gift of evangelism. No one told me much of anything until I met a pastor, a well-qualified pastor, who taught me the Word of God. Now, you probably wouldn't like him. You'd say, well, he's mean. He's not very nice. He didn't have to be nice. He had to be accurate, and he was extremely accurate. So once you accept Christ as your Savior, your journey just begins. I mean, it's got to make sense to you that a baby has to grow up. The infant must learn how to walk and talk and care for itself, right? Well, the Bible teaches the same expectations for you. The new believer must learn how to walk in fellowship with God, how to talk with God and how to care for themselves in the devil's world, the angelic conflict, what we call the arena of contention. These things require learning something. And the first thing I had to learn was a new vocabulary. Words like fellowship, words like sin nature, words like sanctification, justification, they were new to me. I'd never heard those words before after I got saved. So if I was going to grow spiritually, I was going to have to learn some things, some effort. And the first thing that was required of me was to get a Bible, a good translation of God's Word. And there are a lot of Bibles for sale at the bookstore. The King James Version, the New American Standard Bible, the NIV Bible, the Net Bible. I mean, the number of books on the bookshelf is incredible. The Bible's the number one selling book in the world. New International Version. Wow. Once I acquired a Bible, once I figured out which Bible I wanted, then I had to figure out what it said. So I needed a teacher to explain it to me. If you gave me an algebra textbook and said, here, figure algebra out, I could have never done it. Why do you think you can take a Bible without a teacher and figure out what it's telling you? You have to have a pastor who understands it better than you. For example, I had no idea where I even got the Bible, where the Bible came from, what it was all about. I had no idea how it was originally written in languages that I did not even know of, languages I'd never even heard of, like Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. Fortunately for me, my God was one step ahead of me and pointed me, the same as I'm trying to point you, to a well-qualified pastor. Not the kind of guy you might expect, you know, sweet, mild-mannered, milquetoast preacher. God pointed me to a mighty man of strength and character, one I could respect and, to a point, fear. Not frightened like the coach I played for in college, Barry Bryant. I mean, it'd scare you to death, but respected and feared him. Little did I realize that this pastor that I was being pointed to was actually very kind and a very giving individual. But in his classes, they were tough. And I began to grow and learn exactly what happened to me and what God expected from me. But a lot of people couldn't take that. A lot of people said, well, he's not nice enough. He doesn't smile enough. He doesn't talk about his wife enough. Well, why doesn't he come out and shake hands with everybody? All the goofy stuff, you know. I had to learn something from my pastor. I had to learn about my sin nature. I had to learn how to deal with my sin. I had to learn how to deal with my failures. I had to learn what my spiritual gift was, or you might say my position on the team. Excuse me. I learned who my enemies were, and I learned how to defeat them. Now, you might not know this, but I actually attended Bible college, but never really learned much about the mechanics of the Christian life in Bible college. I mean, I did learn about the Bible and the books of the Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament, etc., but it was through my pastor's systematic teaching of God's Word that I discovered the things I'm talking to you about. Many of the things that I learned from him, I regularly teach them to you on this particular radio show. But this was not always easy. It required a routine and a lot of work, studying nightly to listen to his classes. You know what he taught? He taught in his church Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's right. That's how much he taught. And I'll tell you something else you wouldn't understand, but you'd probably be amazed if he didn't go an hour early, he didn't get a seat. He had nightly classes, and they were recorded, and I could take advantage of those recordings as I traveled and went around the country speaking in high schools, and I could listen to those notes on the tape player and take extensive notes myself. Hours and hours of studying and pages of notes, but in the end, I had enough truth to get the message straight. The first book I ever studied with my pastor was the book of 1 Corinthians. You should see my notes on 1 Corinthians, pages and pages and pages, hours every night studying. And he spent hours every day studying at home and preparing to get up in that pulpit for an hour and teach me. But every hour he taught me was 8 or 9 hours at home studying. I had to find somebody God could trust not to foul things up. I had to be that kind of person. I had to be the person God could trust. I did not say I don't sin. I know what my weaknesses are. I know what my failures are. But God also knows that I have learned how to effectively re-present His Word to you and to thousands of others, and it wasn't easy. It took hours and hours and hours of Bible study, pages and pages of notes, and wearing out Bibles and wearing out Bibles. You say, but you're a preacher. What makes you think I'm different than you? What makes you think I live a different life than the life you live? Yes, I may have a radio show, and yes, I may be called upon to speak, but you have to know the same information I have to know. You're just not required to teach it in the pulpit. Many of my early friends in Christ have since long ago peeled off. Why? Because they had no desire to spend hours listening to someone teach the Bible. They weren't willing to submit to any authority from any pulpit. They simply were not willing to put forth the effort required to grow spiritually. And I said effort. Yes, effort. The end result was they had no stability in their lives. They developed, unfortunately, no soul strength. They still live in slavery to the desires of their flesh. And unfortunately, they depend on other people, such as you or me, to acquire God's blessing on our land. Yeah, they want the freedom, and they want the blessing God pours out, but they are like hundreds of those that Gideon sent home who were not prepared to fight for their freedom. You want to be prepared? You want to be one of the 300 that Gideon kept, using that as an analogy? Then how do you prepare? Regardless of your age, how do you prepare? Let's get this straight. Knowing God is not the same as understanding God. I have no doubt you know Him through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I have no doubt. But do you understand the God you know? Jeremiah 9:24, "But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." Again, there is a difference between knowing God and understanding God. Well, what does God want you to understand? Well, I'll quote it for you out of Jeremiah. "I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So what does God want you to understand? He wants you to understand His unfailing love. Unfailing love. "I am the God who exercises loving kindness." Unfailing love of God. It's amazing. Matter of fact, my pastor wrote a book called The Unfailing Love of God, and we can make it available if you want it. Just contact us. We'll get it to you. The unfailing love of God, regardless of what I do, regardless of my sin nature flaws, regardless of many things, He loves me, and He loves you. Never has been a time He doesn't love people. It's part of His essence. He is, the Bible says, God is love. God loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, loved the world. He loved you and me when we were jerks, when we were wretched people, and He loved us, and He loves us today. But He wants us to understand His unfailing love for us. And then He wants us to understand His perfect righteousness. I go back to the verse, "I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth. In these things I delight, saith the Lord." He wants you to understand His perfect righteousness. We call that plus R. God is absolutely righteous, and man is minus R, absolutely no righteousness. If you want to have a relationship with God, you've got to have equal righteousness. How can minus R equal plus R? How can your righteousness come up to the equivalent of God's righteousness? I'll tell you how. The Bible says it. "He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God by means of Him." It's through Jesus Christ that God's perfect righteousness is imputed to us. It was a trade-out. He took our sins on the cross, and He gives us His righteousness. You've got to understand that. And then God wants you to understand His justice. The only way this is going to happen, justice, the only way this is going to happen is for you to learn something about His attributes, and this is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Are you willing to put the time in to become a mature believer? Are you willing to sit down daily with a book or daily with a tape or daily with a video and open your Bible and get a notebook and take notes and learn it and apply it into your life, that's the only way it will happen. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study is a verb, and this is not a request. This is a mandate. God is telling you through Apostle Paul, study, 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 study. Why? To be approved unto God. What does that mean? It means you can do a right thing in the wrong way, and that's not approved. We've talked about that many times. Right thing in a wrong way is still wrong. Is it right to go to church? Yes. Is there a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church? Yes. You can show up at church all you want to, but if you're quenching the Holy Spirit with unconfessed sin in your life, you're in the right place, but you're in the wrong way. You have to rebound. You have to get filled with the Holy Spirit so He can teach you the word that the pastor is bringing forth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. Ashamed. I can just see you showing up at the judgment seat of Christ and the Father looking at you and say, boy, you blew it. You had every opportunity to glorify me and you never took time to learn it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can rightly divide it, can you wrongly divide it? Yes. So you better get it right. If you're going to presume to speak for God, if you're going to presume to tell your friends what the Bible says, you better be sure you got it right. And there's more people that gets it wrong than gets it right, I assure you. If someone tells you in order to be saved, you got to be baptized, that's a lie. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. If someone tells you in order to be saved, you got to give up bubble gum, you got to quit drinking RC Colas, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's spirituality by works. That's salvation by works. You have to understand it so you're not ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ that you told lies and you misrepresented God. How can you even worship a God you don't understand? Is it possible? What do you think He's like? In 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, grow in grace. Grow, that's another verb. And that's another commandment. That's not a request. It's a mandate. Study and grow are both commands. This one's from Peter. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace orientation is problem-solving device number 4 in the plan of God. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge, the full knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are two different words for knowledge in the Bible. One of them is called gnosis, and one of them is called epinosis, and epi is a preposition. That means full knowledge. There's a difference between knowing something and understanding something. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. These two verses alone demand a volitional response from you. They are commands. This is God telling you, do this, do this. It's not just asking you. This is how you acquire biblical wisdom. Understanding the God you know gives you insight and discernment into the devil's tactics, what he's up to, how he tries to deceive you. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You can't approach the devil's word with what you think. You have to approach the devil's word with what God says. So we don't live the Christian life on impulse, but rather on divine viewpoint attained from the Scriptures. I hate to tell you this, but when you ignore these mandates like study and grow, you're sinning. You might not be getting drunk, you might not be fornicating, you might not be stealing, but you are sinning. You are neglecting the plan of God for your life. And you need to confess your sin of being a lazy believer that will not put the time into learning what God expects from you. Why do you think He left you a Bible? Why do you think He gave you a pastor to learn to live and glorify Him? God didn't leave you here so you could be a spiritual ignoramus, but rather a spiritual superstar. For unfortunately, the casual Christian is satisfied with playing church. He's happy to do that, you know, go once a week, put on a coat and tie, nice dress, bring the kids, go to church, and then slip off down to the buffet for lunch and back into the real world and nod to God. Goodbye. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next week, God. Don't let this be you. I call you to admit your failures and pursue God's will and direction for your life. I call upon you to get up from the curb of life. Don't sit there like some homeless person. Put on all the efforts possible for you to reach spiritual maturity while there is time. I don't care that you're 60. I don't care that you're 70. I don't care if you're 80. Get into the Word of God while there's time. We can help direct you to great pastors who can give you super nutritious spiritual food. You know, you want to take all the right vitamins, you want to stay healthy, you want to eat the right food, but the Bible is the nutritious spiritual food you need. You say, well, I don't have a computer, preacher. No problem. If you will commit to staying in fellowship by using Rebound, if you will commit to daily studying the Word of God under a well-qualified pastor, we will help you. But I cannot create in you hunger. I can direct you, I can show you, I can provide for you, but I can't make you hungry. You have to see your own spiritual malnutrition, and you have to decide for yourself that you have not grown up spiritually, and that you will from this day forth begin to make an effort to get going in the Word of God, that you will stay filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will set aside private time for study every day. If you'll do that, I'll be there to help you. I'll be there to encourage you and support you in your growth. And we can put the right material into your hands, hundreds of hours of information into your hands, just by studying the Flatline transcripts daily, which is hundreds of hours. You can learn so much while you pray and seek God's direction in finding a well-qualified pastor. They are out there. God has a man for you, a person he wants you to learn under. I didn't say a woman. I said a man for you, a person that he wants you to learn under. Now, if you have the courage to pray about that, say, God, show me where that man is. God, show me who I can listen to, how I can learn to grow spiritually. God, I've wasted years goofing off and not really paying attention to my spiritual life. I know you're a good Christian. I know you go to church. I know you tithe. I know you don't treat people bad, but are you understanding the justice and the righteousness and the unfailing love of God? That's the only way you're going to ever glorify God, and that's what God's looking for. People that represent Him effectively through, first of all, giving the gospel, and secondly, by the way you live your spiritual life. We're in the devil's world. We're in the angelic conflict, and you must get it right. It's not going to be easy. Don't be a lazy believer. Don't be someone that doesn't have time. Oh, you got time to play golf. You got time to call people and talk to them on the phone. You got time to go to the restaurant. You got time to watch television, but you don't have time to study. You just think that you're going to become a mature believer instantaneously overnight? Kidding yourself. That's time for you to get with the program. It's time for you to make a commitment, regardless of your age, to say, I am going to get this right before God calls me home. I don't want to show up at the judgment seat of Christ and have God look at me and say, well, you blew it. You had an opportunity, and you never took it. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. Don't be a lazy believer. Get with a program and grow spiritually while there is time. I hope you'll come back next week, same time, same place. We're always here, always with a challenge. I hope you're listening. Until then, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline, saying thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.